everybody, let's all stand. Turn to 671. 671.
Face to face with Christ, my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Only faintly now I see him, with the darkened veil between. But a blessed day is coming, when his glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. What rejoicing in his presence, when our banished grief and pain. When the crooked ways are straightened, and the dark things shall be plain. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Face to face, oh blissful moment, face to face to see and know. Face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by.
Good singing tonight.
Well, won't that be a moment, amen, when we get to see him face to face. Sure thankful that you are here tonight. It's our oasis in the desert. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight, ask God's blessing on our services. Certainly be in prayer as well for our classes downstairs with our kids, as well as our teens, our buses. What a blessing they were able to run tonight. So let's pray tonight and ask God's grace on our services. I'm going to ask Brother John Ellis if you would pray for us tonight. Amen. Why don't you be seated? Tonight, I did just want to mention a few announcements. Sure, looking forward to this weekend. Of course, our outreach is this coming Saturday at 10:30 in the morning, and we'll be meeting over in the fellowship hall. And then this coming Sunday is our annual Friend Day, as well as celebrating our church anniversary, celebrating 67 years as an independent Baptist church. And so thankful for that. I did just want to again mention it will be a barbecue lunch, and so we'll have our regular morning service times, and so that means we'll have our men's prayer at 8 o'clock, our buses will go out, and then our Sunday school classes and Sunday morning service, and then we'll head over to the E.J. Watson Gymnasium to have lunch, and then come back over into the sanctuary here to have an afternoon service. So There'll be no evening service this coming Sunday night. And so come, bring some food for your family and maybe for somebody else. And then, of course, we'll have enough. And I'll be preaching Sunday morning. And then our youth director, Brother Tim Quinlan, will be preaching the afternoon service. We do have some flyers out and available if you would like to maybe invite a friend or family member, maybe a neighbor, coworker, something like that. So again, just want to invite you to avail yourself to those. If you are a Sunday school teacher, you need to be aware of Sunday, June the 4th. That is Sunday school promotion day. And so make sure that you're aware of that, maybe who's coming into your class, who's going out. And then, of course, if you have kids going to senior camp or you are going to senior camp, we're going to be leaving that afternoon, Sunday, June the 4th. And so in the evening time, there'll be no Bible study. There'll just be one, the 6:30 p.m. evening service only. And then, of course, we'll be heading to camp. And so pray for our camps, June the 5th through the 9th. And our guest preacher is going to be Brother Park Sutton, and looking forward to that. Of course, there's some other things coming up in the month of June that'll be on the calendar with junior camp and all of that stuff. Senior camp, junior camp, mercy. It's going to be crazy and wild, amen, but excited about those things. All right, if you have your prayer list tonight, let's go ahead and get those out. Did just want to mention a few things tonight as we get started. I did just want to mention some health updates. Praise the Lord, we were able to take Brother Jim Wisdom off with his arm, and thankful for healing there. But if you would, in the first column, about two-thirds of the way down, is Miss Benny Wisdom, and that is his mom. And so if you would continue to pray for her. I mentioned this in men's prayer Sunday, but they did have to admit her into the hospital. Thought that she may have had a stroke, and so I do know that she's now out of the hospital, but just continue to pray as they're trying to figure out what's going on there. Also, if you would, continue to pray for Brother Bob Nugent. Had some tests last week, and waiting on the test results, but as of right now, no news is good news, and so praise the Lord for that. And then if you would, also continue to pray for Miss Irma Alonzo. And I know they would sure appreciate that, as she's been battling with some cancer and certainly also dealing with some other things with some medication. And so if you would pray for her. And I know there's a lot of folks on here that I could mention tonight. Certainly Miss Carolyn Moore, also Brother Randy Crawford. And in the second column, I wanted to mention a couple. If you would continue to pray for Brother Carl Boonstra. Did talk with Pastor Abels yesterday, and he is kind of starting to decline from the pancreatic cancer. And then also little Abel Grace that burned his hand. We can take him off. That's Miss Elaine Hodges' great-grandson. And she said he did have second-degree burns, but it didn't slow him down one bit. Amen. And so he's doing really good there. Also wanted to mention last week, Brother Owen Wood mentioned his niece that was in the process of going into labor, and she did have the baby, and both mom and baby are doing well, and so thankful for that. Of course, on the other side of the page there, if you would continue to pray for our anniversary service this coming Sunday, as well as our summer camps, and we would sure appreciate that. All right, that's quite a bit tonight, but if there's any updates or prayer requests or anything like that, we'll certainly take those at this time. So does anybody have one tonight? All right, Miss Edler. Okay, Laura Hall. Okay. Oh, my. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. That's good to hear. Amen. Okay. All right, so thankful for Miss Edler, her car and body trying to heal up and car getting fixed, and so that's a blessing. But do add on there Laura Hall with health issues, and they're at the Mayo Clinic, and so let's pray for that situation. All right, Brother John. Okay. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord for that. So let's pray for Brother John Ellis. Pray for the job, different things that's going on there. Of course, he transferred up here, but never know what the Lord might do. So, and certainly pray for the housing situation. I know they're trying to find a place there, and I know they appreciate praying for that. And he needs to find a place quick because he's got a wedding anniversary coming up. Amen. So, and amen. So there'll be one next year. Yeah, but you might not be alive to see it. Amen. So that's what. So, amen. So pray for Brother John, Miss Sammy. I know they would appreciate that. All right. Anybody else tonight have a prayer request? All right, Miss Sherry. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And when is the MRI again? Supposed to be on Sunday? Okay. All right, so let's pray for that situation, and certainly been a blessing to hear some improvement there, but we'll just pray that, you know, that the MRI reveals it on the inside as well. So, absolutely. Anybody else tonight have a prayer request or an update? All right, Miss Angel. Yes, ma'am. Okay. All right. All right, so praise the Lord for that, because that was looking to be a dangerous thing. So I had a cyst in his arm that had broken one of the bones there, and so thankful that it's not cancerous. And he's going to have surgery, when is that? 31st of May, okay. All right, thankful for that. Anybody else tonight have a prayer request or an update? All right, Miss Beth. Okay, so pray for Colton Kurt for traveling. Okay, anybody else tonight? My goodness. He's got an abscess and what? Oh, my. All right. So let's add Tony Pei, P-E-I, and with an abscess in his stomach. And so pray for that situation. Anybody else tonight? Okay, let's have our men come forward tonight. I'm sure thankful we can pray for these things. Amen. And we can lift them up to our Lord in prayer. All right, Brother Will Kennedy, would you pray for us tonight? Amen.
time, turn to 588. 588. Standing and turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians.
That is that's a great song, and that is very appropriate for tonight. Amen. And Mercy, we need to get back to this sweet hour of prayer. Amen. And not the convenient 5 minutes of praying. Amen. And Ephesians in chapter number 6 tonight, the book of Ephesians and chapter number 6. Well, believe it or not, this is the last message on the armor of God that we've been looking at for the last several weeks, I guess. And just quite a bit of study here, but a real blessing and thankful that we took the time to kind of just dwell on each of these. And so Ephesians and chapter number 6, and of course it begins with, "Finally, my brethren," there in verse 10, "be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And so those are the reasons why we need the armor
And then, of course, it begins to list the pieces here. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then we started this verse last week, and it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so this is what I would say to you is, again, the final piece of the armor of God, and that is prayer for the soldier. And now we understand tonight, though it is not a physical piece of the armor, anyone who has ever been in battle knows how valuable communication truly is. All right? And so whether it's the physical battle or the spiritual battle, you must be able to communicate. All right? And now when it's the spiritual battle, we got to communicate with our superior. Amen. That's where we get the orders. That's where we get the help. That's where we get the encouragement, and the list goes on and on. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. Now, we've already seen the first part where it says praying always. All right? That means this: we need to have a daily prayer life. That means we need to be striving to be in consistent communication with the Heavenly Father. But tonight we're going to see the rest of this, and the idea here is this: to see what our prayer life should be made up of, and then an encouragement to continue to be faithful in it. So again, it's prayer for the soldier, part two tonight. Father, bless the preaching now, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Now again, and this is not in my notes per se tonight, but just kind of stepping back and looking at the book of Ephesians as a whole, certainly it goes without saying tonight that this book is addressed to the believers within the church at Ephesus. And so, and even looking at the book overall, you understand tonight that it begins with salvation. And I say that looking at the book as a whole, because really the first 2 to 3 chapters all deal with the subject of salvation. In fact, it's often said that the book of Ephesians is a rich book. Well, here's why it's a rich book: because our salvation is rich. But you understand tonight, to make clear, it's for by grace are you saved through faith, as it says there in Ephesians chapter 2. So it starts with salvation tonight. But you understand that once you get saved, that the battle for your soul is now over. You are sealed until the day of redemption. You are forever a child of the King. Praise God for that. But just because you've been saved doesn't mean the battle, the spiritual warfare, is over. No, my friend, now the spiritual warfare for your testimony begins. And so that's why Paul is addressing these believers. And he's letting them know that, listen, you're going to face the wiles of the devil, the deception and the trickery of the devil, who likes to take things and twist them and turn them where right becomes wrong and wrong becomes right. And oh my, are we living in those days and those times? And he likes to do that. And you got to understand, this is not a physical battle, but rather this is a spiritual battle. And you need to be faithful and stand in the evil day. And if you're going to be faithful, then you need to have all of this armor on. And the last part of this is you got to learn how to pray as a child of God. You got to learn how to pray as a child of God. And I think this, how oftentimes we've said this, the best for last. And I really believe Paul understanding, and certainly in the next couple of verses, he's going to reveal that he understands the power of prayer, because he requests prayer for himself. But you understand, as he's listing all of this armor, that he ends it with this: praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and ends in this verse that we're looking at tonight. I want you to hold your place there, if you would, and go back with me to the book of 2 Kings tonight. The book of 2 Kings in chapter number 6. You know, sometimes you look for kind of illustrations to maybe demonstrate the thought that you want to get across tonight. But, you know, the Bible has some of the great illustrations, amen? And so in Ephesians chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6 tonight, I want to actually pick up reading in verse number 8. And I want you to notice what happens here. And I don't want to spend a lot of time here because this is really for the intent of illustrating. But it says, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God," talking about Elisha the prophet, "sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice." So this means that he done it multiple times. "Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" He's trying to find out who the rat is. All right, who's the mole here? "And none of his servants said," and one of his servants said, verse number 12, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." Now the idea here is to understand that communication in battle has always been proven to be of the greatest value. All right, though we could give more modern examples of this. I was actually reading an article today, a military article talking about in World War II that the Americans used two Navajo Indians who knew how to speak Navajo and English on each end of the communication devices to communicate plans in Navajo because the Japanese couldn't translate Navajo. And I thought, that's pretty slick right there, amen. But you understand that even the Bible shows this to be true. That during the days of the prophet Elisha, the king of Syria, it says in our text, warred against the king of Israel. However, the man of God was in daily communication with the God of heaven and earth, who, by the way, knows all things. And as God revealed the battle plans of the king of Syria to ambush the king of Israel, Elisha would send word to the king of Israel so that he could avoid the ambush and win. It got so bad that the king of Syria began to accuse his own men of being traitors and telling the king of Israel his plans. And so someone finally told him the truth. It was Elijah, but more importantly, it was Jehovah God. Now, the scene goes on, and it gets even gooder, all right? But for time's sake, I don't want to dwell there, but this is what I want you to catch tonight with the intent of kind of illustrating what we're looking at tonight on the subject of prayer for the soldier in Ephesians 6. It wasn't just that Elijah was faithful to communicate. It was also what he communicated and how he communicated that played an important role in victory. Did you get that? It was what he communicated and how he communicated. Listen, if Elijah would have just sent a note to the king going, "How's it going? It's going good for me. I don't know about you. How's it going for you?" You understand? It wouldn't have ended the same way. Is everybody getting this? So you understand, it's not... Well, what I'm trying to get across to you tonight is this, is that that's kind of the idea of what we continue to see in this verse tonight in Ephesians in chapter number 6. So go back there, because here's the thing. As we already saw last week, all right, we saw point number 1, which was the faithfulness of prayer. And notice how it begins, praying always. And so that's the idea of having a daily prayer life. And learning how to walk with God every day and even throughout the day. And we saw all of that. But here's what you got to understand tonight. It's not enough to just communicate with God, but to learn how to communicate and what to communicate. And that's what our verse begins to show us as we keep going through here. So notice the next thing here, and what I believe you'll see is this, is not only do you see the faithfulness of prayer, but you begin to see the fundamentals of prayer. No, in other words, these are the things that should make up our prayer life, what we pray and how we pray. And here's what the verse says. He says, praying always, all right? But then it goes on to say this, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So we're to pray always, meaning faithful, but then when we pray, it's to be with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Did you catch that? So you understand, it's the fundamentals of prayer. And really, it's this. It's about the contents of what we pray and even the conduct of how we pray. And by the way, listen, what we pray for and how we pray, those two things correlate together. All right? And let me show you what I mean by this tonight. Now listen, I always feel like when you look at the subject of prayer, I always feel like I'm growing in my prayer life, just hopefully as you're growing in your prayer life. So I'm not standing up here tonight saying this, that I know everything there is to know about prayer. I'd venture to say there are people in this room tonight who probably know more than I do about prayer and all of those things. And I think that there are many things that we could look at within the Scriptures under the subject or the heading of prayer. But I also begin to think about this, and I thought, you know, really much of that falls under the two headings that the Spirit of God gives right here when He says this, prayer and supplication. In fact, let me give you this tonight. The word prayer right there, the word prayer, okay? If you're taking notes tonight, you might want to write this down. The word prayer right here literally means this, worship. That's what it means. Now you think about it like this, worship and supplication. You get those two things going, you're going to have a pretty good prayer life. I'm just telling you, worship right, and supplicate. Now, we would even step back and go, wow, so it's worship. And we would even think about the word worship. And when you think about that, there are a multitude of things that falls under that. I would even say this, there are a multitude of things outside our prayer lives that fall into worship. Do you know this? Church attendance is worship. Giving your tithe and your offering and your faith promise, that's part of worship. Listen, the reality, and we could just keep going down the list of all these different things, but obedience to Christ in a lot of things is part of our worship. And really, it's kind of like this, that anything you do within the realm of the things of God that requires some kind of sacrifice and obedience and a denying of the flesh, that's part of worship. Because really, this tonight, and you need to understand this tonight, no part of worship unto our God is convenient. I want you to think about that. So if you're looking for convenience, then you're worshiping the wrong thing. You're worshiping you. So you understand, all right? So it's the idea of worship, but here's the thing. In prayer, when you and I are praying, which is what the verse is about. When you and I are praying, worship primarily, at least from what I can understand, maybe you've got more, but I would say this, it consists of two primary things. One of those is this, adoration and praise for who He is. All right? So again, this is in our prayer life. This is something that we need to put into our prayer life. So as we come before God in prayer, that there should be a time of adoration and praise for who He is. Now, in order to understand who He is, well, you got to get in the book. But what you will find are things like His attributes and His attributes that directly correlate or have an impact on His character. Things like His holiness, His righteousness, His justice, but certainly thought about these things like His omniscience. He knows all things. His omnipotence. He's all powerful. His omnipresence, which means this. He is everywhere present. His immutability. He never changes. Oh, come on. These are good things tonight. Somebody say amen. Well, and again, these all directly affect His attributes, His things like His holiness, His righteousness, His wrath. Think about this, His love, His grace, oh, His patience, His goodness, His faithfulness, His truth, His wisdom. Now you understand, please, for time's sake, I'm not elaborating on these, but we could spend a series of messages just on these things alone and just could dive into all of these. But the idea is to think about this, that when you and I come into the presence of God and we're going to pray, that these are things that we should spend time on in our mind's eye, dwelling on them and praising Him and adoring Him for these characteristics and these attributes in our lives. Our prayer, listen, part of our prayer time to Him should include adoration and praise for these things. In heaven, listen, right now He is still being praised for His holiness. My friend, when you go to Isaiah chapter 6 and you read where Isaiah sees the glory of God and the angels around His throne are praising Him and going, holy, 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 you go to Revelation and the same thing's still going on. And so you mark it down, friend. It's going to go on. It's going to go on for all eternity. And so I'm just saying to you, if it's going on up there in heaven, then don't you think it should be that us as God's people, when we bow before that throne, we ought to be adoring Him and praising Him for those very same things? Oh, absolutely, I think so. He is good. Come on, tonight. He is good. He is faithful. His mercy endureth forever. His love has been demonstrated through Jesus Christ and continues to be demonstrated in and through our lives tonight. So as you adore Him and you praise Him for who He is in your prayer life, then I would also think this, that the second part of that, that worship unto God, would also begin, it would begin to reflect on us. And that we would adore Him and praise Him for who He is. But now watch this. But then we would demonstrate appreciation or thanksgiving for what He has done for us. Oh my. Now we could camp out right there for a very long time, couldn't we? Listen, our salvation tonight, if you're saved tonight, say amen. Son, what a glory hallelujah. We could rejoice in that. What about His faithfulness to us? Oh my. I mean, just His provision, His grace. Listen, His faithfulness to lead us and guide us through this life. I thought about this tonight, the fact that we live in America tonight. What about our church home tonight? I mean, listen, you understand. Again, I could elaborate and preach a series on this just as much as I could His character and His attributes. The blessing, because the blessings of God could go on and on and on. But the point is this, because of who God is, we get to take part in these things. In my Bible reading this morning, I just thought this was really timely, but I've been very excited to start the life of David, but I don't want to read chapter 11 tomorrow of 2 Samuel, if you know anything about that, that's Bathsheba and Uriah. But right now, things have been good. And I love the life of David, and it's a blessing. And this morning, I made it to the scene where David, of course, he has his house built, and then he begins to see that God dwells in tents, and he goes to Nathan the prophet, and Nathan the prophet recognizing, listen, God's got His hand on you. Do all that's in your heart. But then Nathan goes back, and that night God comes to him and lets him know that no, David's not going to build the temple. But also it doesn't end there, because he does begin to say that Solomon is going to build the house of the Lord. But then he also says this, that the hand of God would be on David's lineage and a king from him would reign forever. We say, wait a minute, preacher, that doesn't happen. Oh, yes, it does. His name is Jesus Christ. So it is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But this is what I love, is the response of David. That is what always catches my attention. You know, when he's told not to build the house, David doesn't go kick the can down the road and get mad and pout and shift the blame and make himself out to be a victim or something like that. No, what David does is he gets on his face in verse of 2 Samuel 7:18, and it says this, "Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, 'Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?'" You know what he's saying? I'm not worthy of any of this. Listen, you can go back and you can read the whole passage. It continues all the way through the end of the chapter. But David, listen, the idea is to get you to understand that David goes before God and prays and does exactly what we're talking about in this verse tonight. He worships God. Listen to this. He praises God for who He is. And then he praises God and thanks Him for His goodness toward him. And what I'm saying to you is this, is that this ought to be in our prayer lives tonight. And I realize we're all sitting back going, yeah, we know this, but the reality is we don't do it. And we need to do it, and we need to spend time in these things. And this is the other thing. Look at back at the verse there in Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse number 18 again, because it goes on and it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. And then it says this, in the Spirit. Now, I realize I skipped supplication, but just give me a second, all right? Because it says here, in the Spirit. And to me, all right, I mentioned a moment ago how the contents and the conduct correlate together. And to me, this shows us why right here. Because here's the thing, and I want you to think about this, and at least, listen, it may work differently for you, but for me, this is how it works in my prayer life, is that prayer ought to start with praise and thanksgiving unto God, because oftentimes we may not feel thankful, nor in our hearts. Our hearts are not where they need to be in humility. But what I find in my life is that when I praise God for who He is and I thank Him for what He's done for me, all of that changes. It changes in my heart. You don't have to feel thankful to be thankful. You start being thankful and you'll find yourself feeling thankful. And I'm just telling you, that's how it works in our prayer life. And you got to understand this, and this is why this is so important. Because remember what the Bible says, He resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. All right? And this is why the psalmist would even say to enter into His courts with praise and thanksgiving. And so, you understand, as we go to God in prayer and in worship unto Him, that this begins to change our heart and puts us in tune with God. And as we're brought low, it should directly usher in a time of repentance and restoring in fellowship with God. Now think about that. That you begin to go to God in prayer and you begin to praise Him for who He is. And you begin to express thanksgiving unto Him. And you find yourself getting low and getting humble before God in His presence. And I would venture to say that automatically rolls into a time of repentance and confessing sin and getting right with God, because naturally you are now beginning to move into a place of holiness with God, but also a place of humility in your own heart and life. And so you begin to do as 1 John 1:9 tells us to do, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. That's who He is. To forgive us of our sins, and I love this, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which, by the way, that those are the things we don't even realize we've done before Him. Think about that. And so this automatically then, well, now watch this. So then this leads us to a place of being filled with His Spirit, and then being filled with His Spirit. All right, and again, this is not us getting more of Him, but it's Him getting more of us. And the way that He gets more of us is when we're humbled and broken and repented? So think about it. You begin to worship God and you begin to praise Him for who He is, and you begin to thank Him for what He's done for you, and then you find yourself in a place of, well, now I need to get right with God and asking for forgiveness and being filled with the Spirit. And then as we've worshiped God, well, now we can do the second half of this, which is to have with all supplication and in the Spirit right here, so we can bring our supplications before Him. And the word supplication just simply means this: our petitions and our requests. And this goes back to the lesson last week of having a prayer list and even keeping a personal prayer list, because how do you know what to pray for if you don't keep track of those things? It's amazing how just in a brief little phrase right here is summed up our prayer life, what it should be. Worship to God and being filled with His Spirit and lifting up the prayers and supplications of those around us and even of ourselves. But as you see all of that, let me give you some things that I've even challenged myself with tonight. These are just kind of helpful things here. The first one that I thought about is this: don't be general. Be specific. Let me say that again. Don't be general. Be specific. Don't generalize your praise to Him. Don't generalize it, but truly take time to glorify Him in the specifics, whether it be the things about His character and His attributes. Man, you think about looking out at creation, and even listen, He knows the stars, all right, by number, and every the vastness of it just speaks to His glory. But then even to take the time to praise Him and to give Him the glory and the thanksgiving for His grace towards us. Man, I find myself, I mean, just things that we wouldn't even sometimes think about, that we just some of the small things we need to thank Him for. And I think about the house He's given me, the family He's given me, the vehicles that we get to drive, how He provides for us, and we get to pay our bills. And I mean, just things that maybe sometimes we just take for granted. And we really do. And we need to stop, and we need to thank God for those things. I mean, the provision for us, the clothes that we wear, the place that we get together with God's people and worship, the friends that we have, the family that we have. Listen, again, I'm not trying to drag it out, but the list really could go on and on and on and on and on with how good God has been to us. And how often do we just generalize it and just go, Lord, thank You for Your goodness and Your blessings to us. Why don't You stop and be specific? Because if I think this, watch this. I think if you did, you might find yourself getting closer to that sweet hour of prayer. And I think this, maybe it's high time we stop sitting back and going, well, God's supposed to do those things. He don't have to do anything. So don't be general, be specific. But here's the other thing. Don't generalize your sin either. Lord, just forgive me of all my sins. No, be specific. Because when you say something like that, the reality is that's not a sign of a broken and repentant heart. Here's what David said in Psalm 51. I love this when he says this. And I bring this up a lot of times in my prayer life to remind me. But here's what he said. Here's what he said about God. He desires truth in the inward part. That means this. I think He desires that we be honest with ourselves about who we really are before Him. And I think this. I think he expects that we own it. And that we be specific about things. Don't get me wrong. God is very gracious, as it says there in 1 John 1:9, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That means things that we don't even realize that we've done before Him. But I think there are some things that we do realize we've done before Him. We just want to generalize it because really in our hearts and minds, we're thinking about going back to it later on. And that's not what God desires of us. So I think we need to be specific, and I think we need to be honest, and we need to be truly repentant about things, because really that's what leads to restored fellowship and being filled with His Spirit. But let me give you the other thing that I just dotted down here. So don't be general but specific, but here's the other thing. Don't pray small, but big. Ye have not because ye ask not. And boy, that verse comes to mind in James a lot, even in my own heart and mind. And this, again, this is something that I've challenged myself on even this year, and really just wanted to remind myself of it tonight as I'm preaching, because here's the thing. We don't serve a small God. We serve a big God. So why not start praying like it? And I listen, to pray big. Listen, small-minded praying is faithless and insulting to our God. We need to pray big and pray for big things. Things that I'm praying about is for souls to be saved and families to be added to Faith Baptist Church. I'm praying for men to be called to preach and more missionaries to be sent out and church, not just a church, but churches to be planted out of Faith Baptist Church. And these are just things that I'm praying for this church, but I realize this, that there are big things that I'm praying about, whether it be for my family or your family. But what I'm saying is this, you need to start praying for those things as well. And praying big. And we could go on again with all of these things tonight, but I'm just saying to you, we need to learn to have this type of contents and conduct in our prayer life where we worship God. And we begin to be filled with the Spirit of God. And then we begin to pray and bring these supplications unto our great God. But he also goes on and says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. But now watch this, he says, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Almost could preach part three. Because it's kind of like you see the faithfulness to pray, and then you see the fundamentals of prayer, but I would say to you, this is what I would call the fortitude of prayer. Guts. We need guts. I mean, we really do. We need strength in the inward man, as Paul said in, I believe it was chapter 3 of Ephesians. See, the word watching here means to keep awake. And the word perseverance means persistently. And so it is the idea of what I believe to continue to pray fervently and persistently in our lives. Yes, sometimes sleep for the believer can be sweet and peaceful. But sometimes you may find yourself up at 2 o'clock in the morning persisting in prayer. Now there may be a multitude of reasons for this, this idea of learning to persist in prayer. All right? And again, there may be a multitude of reasons for this, some of which we may never know until we get to heaven. And even when we get to heaven, we may not even know then. We may forget about it then. I don't know. Or yeah, it won't matter. All right, or it'll all just come together and may I don't know. All right. But from the Bible, all right, from the Bible thinking about this, and at least from what I've studied through all my years of ministry and preaching through the Bible, that there are a couple of times where persistent praying is brought up. And I just want to give you a couple of reasons as to why we need to learn to persevere in prayer. Go with me. You can leave Ephesians chapter number 6. We're kind of done with the verse tonight. Go with me to Daniel chapter number 10. We got to do a little Bible study here. Y'all all right with that? Daniel chapter number 10. So this is what I would say to you. I believe God requires us to be persistent in our prayer lives. And one of the reasons why is this, is because there is spiritual warfare beyond our own personal lives that we know not of. It really is. In Daniel chapter number 10, all right, the verses 1 through 5 kind of get set the scene here and explain to us what led Daniel to begin to seek the Lord and to pray. Notice in verse number 1, he receives this vision here. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. The thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. And so it says here in verse number 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. So note the time frame there. And it begins to tell us how he began to pray, began to fast. It says he ate no pleasant bread. Okay, so he didn't cut out food altogether. He just didn't eat good food. He cut out McDonald's. No, wait a minute. He ate McDonald's. That's... Amen. No. Depends on what your age is. If you're 7 like or 6 like Emily, that's good food. If you're 47, oh. All right, so he ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh, all right, that means no meat, nor wine, all right, so he drank the water. You got to be careful of the water, all right, in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled, all right. And so notice, and in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes, and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Euphaz. And so again, this is kind of setting it up here. Daniel has now been fasting and praying for 3 weeks. This man shows up to him. If you continue reading, and for time's sake, I don't want to. If you continue reading, all right, it begins to give a description very much like the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1. All right, but this is what I want you to catch. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ. It's revealed to be an angel that shows up to Daniel. And the reason that I say that is because look at verses 12 and 13. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. You see what happened there? Spiritual warfare. See, one, now watch this. If this was the Lord Jesus Christ, he wouldn't have needed help from Michael the archangel. So obviously it's an angel. All right, but because it begins to, here's the second thing. This tells us that there were, and by the way, still are, spiritual battles that we know not of. Because he tells us that this prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia, talking about the human kings. At least what I can gather. All right? So now, and I, listen, I'm just telling you, so the prince of Persia, the king, all I can say is this, is that what he's talking about is demonic angels for evil and God's angels for good. That's all I know is what's going on there. All right? But here's what I want you to catch. Is everybody with me? Did you note the time frame? 1 and 20 days. 21 days. Last time I checked, that's 3 weeks. Now, how long was Daniel praying and fasting for? 3 weeks. Catch that? Spiritual warfare. Here's the point. Daniel didn't know these things, just like we don't know these things. If you, listen to me, if you can't see that there is spiritual warfare going on right now over the country of America, you are absolutely blind as a bat. Some of this stuff right here. And what's sad to see is that some of God's people are on the demonic side of this stuff. That was free. But this is what I want you to catch. See, Daniel didn't know these things just like we didn't know these. We don't know these things. However, it was his prayer and fasting that got him through until he heard an answer for God. I want you to catch the last part of verse number 12. Look at what it says. Because this is what he says. He said, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the," listen to this, "for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, before thy God," listen to this, "thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." So that means this, watch this, that means this, that God intended for him, God heard his prayer, and God intended to give him an answer for it. But because Daniel, listen to this, now watch this, but because Daniel persevered in prayer, he got the answer he had been praying for. So what I'm saying to you tonight is this. The reason why Paul says this, I want you to pray, and I want you to watch and pray, and I want you to pray persevering in prayer. Here's why. Because there's spiritual battles that we know not of. But here's the other thing, and this is the other thing. So go with me to Luke chapter number 18, just quickly with me tonight. Luke chapter 18, and I'm done. Because here's the other thing. And really, there's a lot we could say here about this scene right here, this parable that Jesus gives. But really what it all boils down to is this, is that persevering in prayer, we're to do this because prayer is really to be a reflection of our faith. In Luke chapter 18, verse number 1, Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Well, how about that? Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, this widow woman's driving me crazy. He said, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And many of us know this parable tonight. It's the parable of the unjust judge. Though the judge in the parable was unjust, the widow woman was persistent and got what she asked for. And beginning in verse 6, the Lord makes the application to our lives. Number one, we don't serve an unjust God. We serve a just and loving God. However, there may be times where God requires us to persevere in prayer. But when God does move and answer, it will be speedily and swiftly. But again, note the question at the end with the Lord when he says, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Why does he ask that? Well, here's why. Because persistent praying is a direct reflection of our faith in God. Listen to me tonight. God's not some genie in the bottle, all right, that we continually make our wishes to. Nor are you and I God tonight. Listen, sometimes I think this, we got a God complex in our prayer life. And we demand that and expect things of Him. We demand Him to answer when and how we so choose. And it doesn't, listen, it doesn't work that way. He is God. And He is sovereign. And we are His servants. And we are His children. And we are simply called to live by faith and even to persevere in prayer. And sometimes His delayed responses are even meant to stretch and grow our faith in Him. Listen to me, His timing is not your timing, nor is it mine. And I so do love it. I'm sitting here looking at the great gap between us on this side over here, the great gulf in between. I'd love for God to fill that up now. But it just doesn't work that way. His ways are not our ways. And plus, this is what I found in my life, and maybe you found it to be true in your life, but sometimes the people that we are praying for are people. And they bear the right as free moral agents to reject Him. That's just the reality. But it is persevering through prayer that enables us to continue to be faithful and even to see Him move in mighty ways at times. Time would not permit me to tell the stories tonight of people that have been saved or even come back to the Lord or even the amazing miracles that God has done because God's people persevered in prayer. But then think about this. They wouldn't have been there to see any of it had they not persevered. Well, what I'm trying to get you to understand tonight is this, is that persevering in prayer, not only does it move our God, but it enables us to be faithful to see Him move. So we've got to learn to persevere. Don't quit tonight. Don't give up. Don't even stop praying over certain situations and burdens. Just keep praying and persevering and knowing, even like Daniel tonight, that God is both listening and even working. There may just be some things beyond us that we don't see or may never know. But rest assured tonight, listen to me, He does. He does. Can I ask you something tonight? How is your prayer life? Is it one that's faithful and daily? What are the contents of it? Has there been worship and adoration and praise and thanksgiving? Has there been repentance and brokenness and seeking to be filled with His Spirit? Are you even tonight going, you know, preacher, I'm still battling and persevering. Praise God. Because those are all things that we need to have in our spiritual warfare tonight. Let's all stand tonight.